And welcome to Down the Alley. This is PMAC.
And Ted T.S. Spirides.
And Katie.
And this was the week of answers. I feel like last week, you know, we came in, we had questions. We had questions. We had energy. I think we're going to have energy again because there's plenty to talk about. I've got a list of notes. But I think we found out who some people are. And before we get into all that, let's talk about our sponsor. Ted, who's our sponsor this season?
Old Southern Barbecue. They have been so gracious to work with. Hopefully some of you guys have been able to check out one of their locations around the metro while you're out and about watching lacrosse. I know last episode we were complaining about the wind and the weather, but the last couple nights have been really nice, nice days for lacrosse. So, you know, if we're going to complain about the bad weather, we got to give a shout out when we have the good weather, and it's been really nice. And so hopefully people have been able to get out and watch some lacrosse if they're not playing slash coaching or have a kid that's playing, but they're a fan of the game. They've been able to go out and watch some games.
I feel like every week I've got a different OSB shout out. And I promise you, I'm not going to ChatGPT and manufacturing a different thing. These are true. Like I couldn't make these up if I tried. Got a snap or a picture. Got a picture of the steak. What is it? The steak rub? It's like a butter and steak. What's it called?
Yeah. Let me look. I'll pull up the website right now.
Anyways, a 36 fam, a South Suburban family. You know, they tried the steak rub. They've got a variety of different rubs. They got one for chicken, one for steak, obviously. I think a different one for maybe brisket, and you know, to cover all your smoking needs when you're not going to the OSB location if you want to cook in your backyard. And rave review on the steak rub. What's it called, Ted? I think you have it pulled up.
Steak and butter rub.
So, okay, I knew it was something with butter. Steak and butter rub. I guess this was to die for. Great review from one of the many Johnson families in Minnesota. It was one of the Johnsons. And yeah, so I can't make it up. OSB 15 if you're going to order something online. Sorry, DTA 15 if you're going to order something online from OldSouthernBarbecue.com. They've got their rubs. They got some sweet swag. None of us are wearing their swag this week, but really comfy sweatshirts that they sauced us as well.
Yeah, and just to a reminder too, they have locations in Hudson, Wisconsin, Edina, Arden Hills, and Shakopee. So they kind of are in all the quadrants. You know, maybe not on the far west side, but you know, depending on you know what section you watch and what section your team plays in, you know, geographically, you should be able to find a location when you're out. Out traveling for lacrosse games.
And they don't charge for ice.
They do not charge for ice.
They don't charge for ice. And I'm hearing more locations might be coming in the future. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
If the big man ever starts charging for ice though, you'll hear from me on this podcast about it first, but I in good faith, the big man said they will not be charging for ice. Back to kind of what we come here for every week. I feel like the group chats have been popping off. The Discord's been active. The sources have been letting us know what's going on in every corner of the state. I really don't know where to start, so I'm going to delay my start and I'm going to shoot it over to the girls because I have so many thoughts on the boys that I feel like I need a minute to organize it. One of our group chats is with the source. And it was we could have made a book. We could have printed a book this week on everything that was going on. And I don't know how the source does it, but a lot of storylines, it sounds like, on the girls' side. What a week it sounds like. What's going on in the girls game as we wrap up April already?
Where do we start? Friday, because we recorded We
Yeah.
talked about Thursday, right?
Yeah, so Friday the 19th is where we start. And I think kind of the big game that night was Park and White Bear Lake. I think that was sort of the feature game, I guess. And
They in the same section?
no, they are not.
Okay.
It's three, White Bear Lake is four, but two teams that I think have been pretty solid over the last couple years. And Park with a 9-4 win. So pretty I don't know. I sometimes scores are weird. That game maybe could have been closer than it looks. Or maybe it could have been worse than it looks. I don't know. Five goals, but it sounds like Maddie Brinkman scored 8 of the 9 goals for Park. So and they run a zone defense as well, exclusively a zone defense, and it was enough to sort of shut down a couple of the big guns from White Bear. So good game plan by Park. You know, we'll see if that film surfaces and how teams handle that in the future.
Zone defense was a hot topic kind of in the off season. I feel like it kind of, you know, spurts back up. I feel like this is one of the years where zone defense is it hot again? Is it, you know, in the girls game I'm hearing about it, you know, in the boys it was kind of an off season thing. And now I've heard a couple of girls coaches talk about it now. Just kind of in the circles that I'm in. Is zone back, or did it ever leave? Am I just, you know, what's the story with that? Katie.
I don't think it's ever come in the girls' game. I don't think it's used enough on the girls' side. I think it's really used when you get to the higher levels, like in college. And so I think it takes, you know, it takes a obviously a really good team to execute. Am I echoey?
No, you're
No,
good.
you're good. You're
Okay, good.
good.
It takes a really good, like, team unit to execute. And I think, in my opinion, it's different. And I think a lot of girls aren't used to playing it. And so sometimes it's almost like we don't get enough time in the lacrosse season to teach it and to execute it. But when executed, I think it really throws teams for a loop. And word on the street is that's how East Ridge kept Lakeville South to such low numbers. And I will say the scores this season seem to be a lot like closer across the board. There's not so many like blowouts, it seems to me. I mean, yeah, there's some definitely some still, I mean, on Friday alone, 17-0, Stillwater versus Irondale, and Shakopee to Hutchinson, 13-1. But some of these the teams we've talked about as front runners in their section and in like the preseason. 9-4, like Ted said, like that could be a really close game, or it could not be. But like, I think holding a team to only 9 goals in either the boys or the girls game is like a respectable feat.
Yeah, and with like zone defense too, like and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's more prevalent in the girls game than it is in the boys game, especially if you're running it exclusively. And again, I could be completely off on this, but from like if you think about like
In a
football,
college level, yeah, I think you're right.
think about like football and basketball, like the idea of running a zone is where maybe you feel like you're not going to win one-on-one matchups so that you play coverage and be smart about it instead of trying to run with the team. So it makes a lot of sense to run a zone. And I heard an interesting thing from a friend of mine who spent some time in the NBA, and he was like, they'll never run a zone
Who's
defense.
that?
Tom Smith.
Oh, I thought you meant like you knew someone playing in the
Oh,
NBA.
no. Tom
I
Smith,
was like, who's that?
athletic trainer in the NBA, and you know, just
Yes.
around it. And it was kind of like this unwritten rule that like coaches would rather lose a game playing man defense than win a game playing zone. Like it's kind of like an
Oh.
thing of like, and I feel like there is still a little bit of that in lacrosse too, of like accepting that we're not the more athletic team is like this huge like ego thing. And we will never run zone, but it could make a lot of sense for a team, honestly, if if you don't think you're 50-50 or you're whatever. And so it's interesting to hear about a team that's really, it sounds like Eastridge maybe did it too, where they accepted, hey, we're not going to win athletic matchups. We're going to do this. We're going to put it in and we're going to run it and we're going to stick to it. And it looks like it maybe worked a little bit in these games. So, interesting. I guess that's just an interesting tidbit that I didn't, that just came out of these specific games this week.
Yeah,
Yeah, but I
just
agree
been.
with you, PMAC, that it seems to be kind of a topic lately.
Yeah, it's been a topic in the circles that I'm in various different circles as well of different people that I've been talking to. So, yeah, I just yeah, I, that's why we get on the mic, you know, that's why we get on the mics and we start chatting and we kind of we collect you know, the different conversations we have in the various circles that we're a part of. So that's been one that has continued to pop up, and it felt like this week specifically, it kind of came up a couple times, and you know, this off season as well, it kind of reminded me of that. So yeah, zone defense.
Yeah, and then yeah, moving on to Saturday. 14 games on Saturday. An absolute shoot.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, shootout between Eden Prairie and Maple Grove, two teams that are that have been in the top 10 this year, have been talked about as, you know, contenders, if not favorites for their section. 19-18, Eden Prairie wins. Not
In
sure if
OT.
defense was being run in that game or not. I don't think there was much defense being played at all in that game.
Yeah.
But 19-18, what a game. And I know EP had that loss to Orono right away early in the season, but they've rattled off a few wins here. Yeah, I guess I did anybody see that game? And it sounds like it's overtime too. So
Yeah, OT, and it sounds like EP was man down going into OT. They were on a card.
Yes.
No, the source I think was listening to it. But from what the source here is reporting, it sounds like Casey Kotsavar
Jabbar.
on EP has 28 goals, if I'm
Oof.
reading that right.
33.5 games. That's pretty impressive. Avery Thomas, 26 points through 5 games. Josie Walsh.
And 31 draw controls. That's a
Yeah.
lot of draws, one.
And then in Maple Grove's case, Riley Dunn had 9 of their 18 goals, and she's only a sophomore. So a couple teams that have decided to put the time into offense. You know, I guess I didn't see the game, but I think, I don't know, I would expect an EP Maple Grove game to be a competitive game, and it looks like it was. So I think that's a good measuring stick for both teams. And then another game that was a one goal game against two pretty, you know, I would say contending teams, Minnetonka and Elk River Zimmerman. Minnetonka wins 11-10 on a last second goal. But it sounds like Elk River may Zimmerman maybe had their backup goalie in the cage playing. Not sure why. Not sure if that would have been a difference or not, but a close game nonetheless.
Yeah, that's I think for me, Minnetonka is definitely kind of like raising my eyebrows a little bit, as so is Maple Grove. Like two teams that came out. Obviously, we know EP's a strong contender. I think Minnetonka's win over Elk River Zimmerman. They had another win too earlier in the season. We play Maple Grove this week, and we played them as like a third level team. Oh, maybe they didn't. We've played them as like a third level team, but our varsity team has never played them. And I'm really excited now, especially since they went toe to toe with EP. Like they're a big contender, and I think that they're going to be a good game for us. Another one that kind of surprised me was Rosemount Andover. Kind of like from the beginning of the season, I don't remember where I ranked Andover, but I feel like the kind of like that, obviously they had a recruit, really big time recruit 2 years ago. Was
Yeah.
that 2 years ago? They lost to EP by one goal, which is respectable. But then Rosemount lost to Champlain Park early in the season, and Andover plays Champlain Park this week.
Interesting.
So you lose to Rosemount. Rosemount loses to Champlain Park. So it's going to be really interesting. Their matchup is actually on Monday, Andover Champlain Park, because I think that's going to be a big teller of if Champlain Park is here to play. So shout out to Champlain Park for getting some of these games scheduled too, and like
Yeah,
right out of the gate here. But that's like PMAX said, maybe this was the week of answers. I think we got a couple more questions, especially with Champlain Park. They are going to bump up in the ratings if they end up beating Andover also.
speaking of them, they beat Wayzata, who again I feel like is a pretty solid team, 11-3.
Yeah.
And then Rosemount, lost that first one to Champlain Park 7-9. And has rattled off four straight. I don't, Andover's a quality win. I don't know. I think Jefferson's a quality win. I don't know how Hill Murray and Eastview Eagan are. They won pretty big in those games. But, I think Rosemount is another team that might be a little bit overlooked, especially because of Section 6 and South Suburban. But they might be better than we think, or that the
Right.
public thinks.
Right. I agree. And I kind of think Wayzata, in my opinion, might maybe not be holding up as high as I thought they would.
Could be too. But no, I'm huge on Champlain Park right now. The Rebels,
Yeah.
they're playing great lacrosse.
Hagen Bard, I guess, is scoring just millions of goals.
She's only a sophomore as well. So like Champlain Park, I think they've been doing it. They have answered a lot of questions for me. They've scheduled tough games. They've gone on the road to some of these, other teams in the South Suburban and the West and the East. They've gotten out of their like Northwest Suburban comfort zone, now that they have more opportunities to schedule out of conference games because of that conference split. And they've just gone and said, we're going right into the tough games and we're going to play them. And they're winning. They're winning those games,
Yeah.
decisively winning them. And so I like they bumped up in the they got into the top 10 and on week one, and then they bumped up in the rate on the poll for week two, and I think they're just continuing to rise. And that Andover Champlain game on Monday is like, that's a rivalry game for them because they were in the same section for a long time, same conference. So I think that's a That it might be the game to watch this week on the girls' side, if not, one of them. But yeah, I they're an interesting. I'm hoping I'll have a chance to see them play on a stream or something because they've just been taking care of business.
Agreed. Should we move on to
Yeah, we'll move
lost my spot here Monday,
Monday the
22nd.
22nd. Yep. Let's see.
I think BSM Wayzata was kind of an eyebrow raise for us last week. We should go back and listen to our episodes, what we say of the ones that were kind of like eyeing of the night. Pretty much a blowout on Benilde's end. So I think Wayzata, unfortunately, is kind of going down the ranks. But we also kind of heard there was maybe some goalie differentials. I think they're playing two goalies, and that is a big difference. You know how high I am on a goalie, and maybe there's game time decisions. I know when we were playing Stillwater, they made a goalie switch. Quite honestly, I'm kind of jealous that teams have kind of the I like when teams have the opportunity to play different goalies because I think that's a really underutilized tool in a game plan and like a mid-game sort of a mid-game adjustment. Goalies are I feel like you either have too many goalies or not enough goalies. You never have just the right amount, and I think that's a great like option for teams if they have that to like swap a goalie mid-game. I think it really throws teams off. I don't know what the situation is, Wayzata. I know that might be part of it, but not a huge contest for Benilde. So they might be bumping down. What was another one that we were high on Monday, or was that it?
Want to say with Benilde, It's really interesting. I think, preseason, I think there was a little bit of disrespect from the public. And everybody was still kind of saying Lakeville South was, somehow the better team, and maybe Benilde
Yeah.
lost much, and they lost their goalie, and there was all these things. And even we, and I'm guilty of it too. I didn't think Benilde would be as, I don't know, as just as much firepower as they have. But Coach Peterson said it. She DM'd us and said, "Hey, we're the state champs, defending champs, and we're already being counted out. But give us the underdog role." And they're proving us and everybody wrong. Like, they still, to me, are the team to beat. And they're doing it on both ends of the ball, of the field, offense and defense. Like, just looking at their scores here, like, they're 6-0.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they're 6-0. They've scored 19, 19, 11, 17, 16, 17. So double digits in every game. Shout out Blake girls for holding them to 11,
Yeah,
which
yeah.
was like eight. Obviously they have Chaska this week, but next week they have Lakeville South. So that's the biggest game in the state thus
Yeah.
far, will be South versus BSM girls. And we'll see. That game could be 40-39. I mean, honestly,
Yeah,
like,
I know. No, not with Lakeville South goalie.
yeah. So we'll see. I guess we'll see more, and
It might be 2-1 though.
yeah, it could be. It honestly could be.
Like
I think,
that's how I see it going.
yeah, the other kind of interesting score for me on Monday was Park and Simley. Park wins 5-2.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Simley was up 2-0. And then Park, maybe that zone defense, I don't know, maybe it was that. And they ended up winning 5-2. So, interesting low scoring game.
Right.
Moving on.
After coming off, obviously it's a win still, but kind of like having these, big time Moundsview White Bear Lake wins, not saying Simley's not a good competition, but they've had some higher caliber games. Simley's got a brand new coaching staff. Then all of a sudden, yeah, a 5-2 game is kind of an interesting score that from Park.
Moving on to Tuesday, I saw some of the Farmington Shakopee girls game they played right before we did. Farmington was up 11, or no, 10-5, I think, with like
Oh, wow.
4, 5, or 6 minutes left, and they started like just chipping away, and I think made it 11-10 with like, I don't know, 30 seconds left or something, and
Oh my
then
gosh.
won the draw on a ground ball, was able to
Yeah.
pull the clock. So that ended up being like a really good game. So shout out
Yeah.
to,
Yeah, interesting. I was wondering about that, like if it was close the whole time, but sounds like maybe Farmington put the lifted the gas, lifted the pedal or foot off the gas a little bit, and sure, I could be kind of put the pedal to the metal and came
I'll
back.
skip ahead to BSM Jefferson. We talked about BSM 16 goals against
Yep.
Jefferson. Just a dominant win against a good team. Edina 14-4 over Centennial, who was a good team last year. I don't know how they are this year. That again, another pretty big win. I think obviously the game of the night was Lakeville South Prior Lake. Lakeville South wins 10-3. Sounds like, Katie, you can add to it, but sounds like it was a sloppy game for Prior Lake. Lakeville South took advantage of that. Maybe that was forced by Lakeville South. I don't want to take anything away from South here to say like, oh, Prior Lake just played bad, that's why they won. They play at a pace
Right.
I think forces teams to make a lot of mistakes. I don't know, was that game closer than the score looked? Was it worse than the score looked?
Yeah.
You don't have to go into a ton of detail, but just
It
maybe.
was, I'll just say it was 4-3 at half.
Okay, interesting.
It was 4-3 at half. Circle back to the zone defense, and I think that's something, like you said, about teams not wanting to take the athletic matchup. Lakeville South has insane goal scorers. Like they're so powerful and good at their role that it is really hard to shut down, even though we do have like a really athletic defense. We weren't playing a zone, but I think against South, that would be a good tactic. Talking, you mentioned their pace. Their pace is like fast forward. It sometimes seems like they are moving in fast forward. And when we had Tori Cheetah on, the way she talks about her teammates and how they've been playing with each other since like birth is definitely evident on the field. I'm not taking away from Coach T, but it feels like they are like he's barely a puppeteer. It seems very much like they're self-coached and it's working really well for them that they, as a team of high school girls, are able to just be on the same page with each other. They listen to each other. Tori's always like kind of directing, and they all listen to each other. They have kind of this like sixth sense of swapping at the 30. There were very fluid swaps of, I mean, it was just like a look at each other and I'm over and you're in. So again, a very high level coaching staff that has probably put that in place, but also then a very solid group of girls willing to trust that and trust each other. The draws were, we were really happy with the draw controls, but if you let, the thing about South is like if you let one little crack in the foundation, they're gonna find it and then they're gonna like put a hammer and a nail into it and like explode it. And that's exactly what happened in our second half. We didn't score in the entire second half. And it just kind of, it felt like they just, like I said, they saw the crack. They put the little hammer in it, put the nail in it, and everything just kind of shattered. And meanwhile, they keep their composure, they keep their pace. And it
Yeah.
very much felt like we were trying to keep up on them. So, I agreed that their game versus Benilde is going to be really interesting. A team like Benilde scoring millions of goals here and really high scoring games seems like they don't have an attack problem, that's for sure. And Lakeville South doesn't have an attack problem. Lakeville South's goalie is very skilled and very athletic. Their team is a bunch of solid athletes. So, in terms of just like sheer matchups, like you better be hitting the hills and the sprints and the weights when you come to play Lakeville South, because they've got some size, which is a good thing. But like you said, it could be a 39-40 game, or it could be like 2-2. Like I
Yeah,
wouldn't
yeah.
be surprised at either of those. Like you got to hit your shot. So if Benilde's been playing some goalies maybe that have been letting some soft ones in, that's definitely not going to happen against South. And if Benilde's, toughens his own defense on them, I think that's going to be hard for South to get through. So they
Yeah.
both have their skills and their things they're good at, and
And yeah.
capitalizing on the things they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, we'll probably, we may see those two teams play again.
Yeah.
I think we are looking forward to that BSM South game.
Yes.
One other score from Tuesday that we don't have to talk about it too much, but Hopkins beating Buffalo 11-9. I think Buffalo was a team that was pretty good last year, maybe good this year. I don't know how they are this year, but Hopkins, they're 3-1, and they got Eden Prairie next. So I think interesting score there. Moving
Yeah, I
on
think
to
that's a huge win for Hopkins.
moving on to Wednesday. It sounds like maybe Creighton. Oh, so the game of the week was Stillwater East Ridge, boys and girls, the DTA game of the week, but Stillwater wins 13-4. I expected that game to be a lot closer, so I don't know what the story was there.
I did too. We actually talked about that as a staff, that like, how did East Ridge have such a close game versus Lakeville South? And then Stillwater kind of crushes them. I mean, kind of. Again, the score might not reflect how the game actually went. We don't know. We weren't there. And so we're very interested in East Ridge now. We don't play them, but that just kind of raised our eyebrows a little bit for sure.
And as someone who, follows the girls' game, but not maybe not as closely as some, I think Stillwater is a team that is maybe being overlooked a little bit. A lot of talk about BSM, Lakeville South, Prior Lake, as like these three. But I think, like Rosemount, I think Stillwater, they got a pretty solid team. They've had some big wins. They got a tough schedule. I don't know. I'm high on them. I think this win is a dominant win against a good Eastridge team, and like dominant fashion. It wasn't like they squeaked by. So,
Because
definitely.
I think we squeaked by them
Yeah. No. I
as
mean.
in Prior Lake. Like, I mean, they made a goalie switch, and their backup, I guess I don't know if she's the backup, to be honest. She just didn't start that game, so I don't know if she's, let's look at their roster to see their games. I don't know if I've already said this,
Number
but
33.
she was, yeah, so how many,
So number 33
so
is
she's their
the
starting goalie. So then Jacqueline, goalie, 2027, played three quarters of the game. Like Rio played the first quarter, and then Jacqueline came in, and Jacqueline was, I believe, the goalie 2 years ago at our U14A state championship, and they beat us. And I was at that game and remember being like, holy smokes, this goalie is insanity. It absolutely, her athleticism at the position of goalie in the state is unmatched. I mean, I tried to find the film. She came to like the midfield at one point in our game to like ride, and it was unreal. And she's super vocal, super athletic, super engaged in the defense that like I said, we like squeaked by them. So I agree with you, Ted, that I think Stillwater maybe is, we're kind of sleeping on them a little bit. I think we're not sleeping because we're like, oh, Stillwater's always good. But I think we're sleeping on them a little bit in terms of they could have easily had us beat. Now they beat East Ridge. And why did I lost my spot here.
They have PH Park, White Bear Lake, Lakeville South, Chan, Edina. They have some big games coming up.
Big games coming up, right?
They very much could be in the number one spot at some point if they win those games. Rio Atkinson in the East Ridge game had 12 saves on 16 shots on goal for a 75% save percentage.
Okay,
That is
so she's good too.
probably the main factor in that game. Eastridge only had 9 shots on goal in the game, according to which is
So then it was the
supposedly.
draw. Their draw control, I mean, she had us beat. I feel like it was 100-0. She got a we got a picture from our photographer, and I think she's number 14, their draw specialist. She jumps like 3 feet in the air. So I would assume they wouldn't, like, they didn't even get the ball.
Yeah, I mean that very much could be true. Let's see. It's hard because draw controls, the stats go to different people.
Yes.
Who what
She
number?
gets,
What
she
number?
typically gets her own draw. I think she's 14.
Indira Capelli, 4 draw controls. But yeah, I think interesting game on Wednesday. Also, I think like I said, we're sleeping on Stillwater, maybe dominant performance against a good Eastridge, but also Creighton, Durham Hall had a, I think I lost it here.
17-12 win against Woodbury.
Very, big win for them. 17 goals. Looks like Jordan Rosga, who's a freshman, no, an eighth grader. Eighth grader had 7 goals and 4 assists. So, not bad. for an eighth grader
Yeah.
who also seventh grader had like 500 points last year. So a superstar in the making, if not already one. Creighton is sitting at 4-0. They have Stillwater next. Tonight, Stillwater tonight, Creighton Stillwater girls. That could be
Yeah.
wonder if that will be on Valley Access. I will check. You guys
Yeah.
can Thursday if you'd like while I look this up.
So yeah, Thursday sounds like there was three overtime games. The first one was Andover, EP at Andover, in a one goal game, 11-10. That's super close. Because Andover, gosh, yeah, they play Chamblin Park on Monday. Andover, who did they lose to? They lost to Rosemount. So this is an interesting spot. It puts them behind EP by one goal, though. EP is still just scoring tons of goals. Another one was Tonka, well, beating Lakeville North. And we'll go to Champlain Park beating Edina 7-5. Am I on the right day here? Yeah, Thursday. I think that's actually not that Champlain Park, I'm trying to discount their win. I'm trying to decipher where Edina's at. A 7-5, really close game. Seems like probably like a great battle. I didn't watch it, but a low scoring game like that. I could check the box scores, excuse me. But I think that for me was like the game of the night. No Edina stats, but Reese Hagenbart had an assist. Annabelle Johnson looks like two goals. Elena Roll, two goals. And then a couple other Lauren Schindelbeck, Miley Jurassic each had one. Paige Hagenbart, the goalie, 14 shots on goal, 9 saves. So, huge game for them. We don't know. So then, like, is Edina on a slump? I'm not going to count them out, that's for sure. But maybe Champlain Park is the one that we have to beat this year.
Yeah, it's no, I agree. I think we'll know more about Edina as we go. For those that would maybe want to watch this Creighton Stillwater girls game, it is on NSPN.TV. You do have to pay to subscribe. I think it's $30 for the year, and you get lacrosse regular season. You'll get the lacrosse state tournaments. And then it also, they do hockey and basketball as well, and baseball and softball and all these other sports. Pretty good value for $30. So yeah, you'll have to subscribe. But Stillwater versus Creighton at Creighton tonight, girls. That's a pretty big matchup, and I think will be a good one to watch.
I agree. I'd like to watch that.
A lot of girls analysis there. I'm glad we were able to jump in and get some notes on some of these games. There's a lot of action this week. We'll bump over to the boys' side.
Real quick question. Do we think our questions have been answered, or do we have more questions?
Well, let's talk about the girls about that first, because we
That's what
haven't
I mean.
discussed the boys yet. So on the girls' side, are you left with more questions, or do you have answers yet?
That's what I'm saying. I have one question. Are we counting Stillwater out? And I think my answer is that Champlain Park is a player in this game. I think their win against Edina is like huge.
Agreed.
I agree, maybe Rosemount first game of the season. Maybe that wasn't all. I mean, it's still a win is a win. But I think Champlain Park's win against Edina proves that they're a player in this game. I think if they beat Andover on Monday, that is going to just be kind of like icing on the cake. I feel like you can see them bump up on the DTA rankings. I don't know if they're going to bump up in the Lax Hub ratings. And then I think Stillwater is my question. I think
I think
tonight is.
Stillwater's legit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're not legit, but I think they would have a big chance at beating Lakeville South. I think that's going to be Ambenild, Coach Johnson, or, yeah, Coach Kara. Let us know. Don't count them out. I think we aren't. I think maybe we don't talk about them because we're not counting them
Well,
out.
BSM's not
But
on their schedule.
I know. So then, but they're on Lakeville, the Stillwater Lakeville South, and then Lakeville South, Benilde, I think are going to be. I wish time would stop for a little bit so we all can just soak those games in.
Agreed. I think Stillwater girls, because we're talking about girls right now.
Yes, we're still talking about girls.
I think Stillwater girls, the ponies, the lady ponies, are legit.
I agree. I just looking at the latest DTA poll, Benilde, Lakeville South, Prior Lake, Stillwater, Minnetonka, Champlain Park, the top six have all taken care of business and solidified that top half. The second half, Gentry, Edina, Eastridge, Chanhassen, we might see some teams pop into the top 10 this week that weren't in it last week.
Yeah.
I don't really.
I think there's a team in that first group that might be a little lower next week.
Yeah. So,
And I might coach on the boys' side of that town. I
hey, we'll let the voters vote. But I think this week answered for me, it answered a lot of things. There will still always be some questions, but I think the teams that have been at the top have taken care of business. But there's some big games coming up. I think we'll find out more as the weeks go on.
There's also the dreaded prom coming up.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
Prom
it's
week
his worst
is
night.
next week, right?
Prom week. Prom week's gonna our Prior Lake prom is the 4th of May, but
Yeah, so
as
next episode will be prom week episode. That
prom
was the
starts
famous episode last, was that
yeah,
last year?
I think it was. Prom starts creeping in and we start getting a little distracted.
Yep. And Farmington's prom isn't until like a May 18th or something like that. It's
Yeah,
pretty.
so a couple weeks.
So yeah, prom finals, the weather gets nice.
AP testing.
Lakes are opening,
Yep.
come into the water. The golf course is open. A lot of distractions start coming. Once that calendar hits May 1,
Yep.
there's a lot of other options out there. There's a lot
Yes.
of options, and keeping your team focused in some of these games as we get down to the wire is not easy. There's a lot of things and graduations and college kids coming back. There's a lot going on.
Yep.
Over to the boys.
Boys Friday,
Boys Friday.
the 19th.
The game of the night was Eastridge Woodbury border battle. Maybe not, yeah, not even border battle, inner
Inner
school
city, yeah.
battle. Woodbury has been the dominant team in this matchup over the last few years. Maybe not dominant in the games, but have won more of the games. But Eastridge winning 8-7 in overtime. That's a huge win for Eastridge. We've talked about them on this show. They're in the top 10. They've got a squad that they've been, they've been rolling out the young guns for a few years. They're finally now juniors and seniors. And Woodbury's not an easy team to play and not an easy team to beat. They're very fundamental. They're very good. They play a winning brand of lacrosse, and Eastridge found a way to beat them in overtime. So, big game and big win for the Raptors.
And they answered the bell, for both teams. Like when we call out a game, a matchup, when it's a one goal game, like we like that because we're kind of putting our names on the line of like, all right, this is one to watch, this is one to keep an eye on. And when maybe it goes the other way, it's a blowout, it's tough. One goal game. I think we may have both picked Eastridge, or we were keen in on Eastridge. Specifically to see, okay, are they a top 10 team? Are they a top, like, where do we think they are? And not to poke ahead, but 2-1 goal games against two very respectable opponents in Woodbury and Stillwater. You know, where do we think East Ridge is? I know we talked about them a little bit earlier this week. I think it might have even been on Sunday. You know, who you know, East Ridge has been such a hot topic for us. What do we think East Ridge is?
I think they're a top 10 caliber team. We'll probably get more into them as we move into the next couple days here of recaps, but they're a good team. I've seen them play personally. You know, we scrimmaged them at Farmington early in the season, and I was really impressed with their team. So like everybody, they probably have a lot they want to improve upon and work on, but so far, I mean, I think they're a contender for Section 3.
Another score that popped out to me on Friday night was New Prague Orno. Orno is a team that I've seen live. You know, we scrimmaged them, and New Prague comes out. You know, who knows who was in the game, who was out of the game, but New Prague comes out, gets a big, massive, you know, win against Orno. You know, New Prague's on a little bit of a run this last week, beating Owatonna. You know, beat up on Rochester, had a tough game against the Jags. We'll talk about the Jags later, but New Prague 3-2. And one of those two losses was a 2-goal game against Lakeville South. New Prague, a team I've been talking about.
Yeah. No, that
making a little noise.
I'm surprised they won, but 18-5. I agree with you. That was a eye opener. That offensive performance was an eye opener. And I also agree. I thought Orno was one of the better squads this year as well. So, New Prague got 4 goals from Bleas, 4 goals from Butow, and 4 goals from Nelson. So they had 3 guys score 4 goals in that game. So, touche. Great day for them.
Any others that catch your eye for Friday, or are we moving on to Saturday?
I'm not going to deliberate too much on it, but Benilde beating Centennial 23-0 was another one where I know that Centennial's top guy was out, one of their top offensive players. It's still, I was expecting BSM to win that game, but not at that clip. So, the Red Knights really, explosive performance in that game. I didn't see it, so I'm not going to comment too much on it, but it was just, I don't know, that one was just an eye-opener when I saw it.
Nothing more to say on that.
On to Saturday.
Yeah, go ahead.
18 games on the schedule. Couple good ones. It was a good Saturday slate, honestly. Starting in the morning, or not the morning, maybe early afternoon, Jefferson Apple or Eastview Apple Valley slash the Valley slash the Combos 8-5. I actually was listening to this stream while I was driving to Rochester that night, that day, to play a game, and it was a weird game. It was like just a meat grinder game. Both teams just, I think, you know, it was a Saturday. The kids weren't awake yet. Jefferson jumped out early, and then Eastview came back and made it, you know, tied the game early, you know, or in the second quarter. And it was kind of back and forth. I can pull up the box score. It was a 3-0 Jefferson quarter one, 3-1 the Valley in quarter two, and then 1-1 in the third quarter, and 3-1 Jefferson in the fourth. So just one of those kind of weird games, I think. Pretty defensive, good goaltending. I didn't see it. I was driving, so I was just kind of listening to it. But, you know, that's a do we do quality losses? I know that was a hot topic a couple years ago about teams getting respect for,
I think so,
good losses. But that's a good loss for the Valley, in a pretty competitive game against a good Jefferson team.
Yeah, I guess
I like a quality loss.
I guess normally I wouldn't lean, you know, pro or against, but In the year of 2024, when, we get flack for commenting on a schedule, like maybe I should be against quality losses.
You can be against them. I just think sometimes it's telling about the team that lost.
Yeah, for me, I don't think I can reward teams for having a bunch of quality losses, but I do think this one puts Eastview on my radar a little bit more than maybe they were originally because they made it a game. Now, could Jefferson have played bad? Could there have been weird calls and bounces? Of course, that all could happen unless you watch every second of the film, you won't know. But I expected Jefferson to win by more in that game, and they didn't. So, nice game by the Valley, nonetheless.
How about this STA Minnetonka score, one goal game? I don't know if it was an overtime game or not. Maybe Ted. STA coming out with the win. I think this was a team maybe at least I was a little unsure about, starting with a 4-1 here early in the season. You gotta take notice.
Don't remember if it was overtime or like a last second, 10 seconds left type thing, but it did come down to the wire. I agree. I was a little unsure about St. Thomas Academy too, with how much they lost on offense, but this Antonio Pedri, 5 goals. He's got a bunch of goals this year. And I will say this Luke Hudson kid, really solid player for STA. I think he's like 6'5". That's what he's listed as an attackman, and he's got great hands for a guy, for a big guy. And so he's a big target. They can get him the ball. He can finish, but he also dishes. I mean, he went 3-3 in this game. But yeah, I don't. STA has played they're 4-1. They played Egan pretty tough, and Egan looks like a great team this year. So, like, I don't, you can't sleep on STA right now. They're a gritty club, honestly. Like, they go and they like find a way to make it work. And this Antonio Pedri in 5 games has 16 goals and 12 assists. So, that's a pretty good stat line. And this Hudson, Luke Hudson, 15 goals, 10 assists. So they're getting production from other players.
I think we definitely have to take a look at this Maple Grove Edina game, 2-goal game. We do have reports on this game from sources. It sounds like it was just a kind of a defensive battle. I know some, you might look at 10-8, it's about an average score, but it sounds like it was kind of the defense though overall slowing the game down. Both teams have weapons. Edina focusing in on, Ricky P, and then, Maple Grove as a whole just trying to, mess up the Hornets. Anderson, 4 goals. Ricky P sounds like they were able to keep him in check. Number one for the Crimson, not sure his name off the top of my head. It sounds like he went off for four. Yeah, what do you got on this one? Anything else?
Only thing I heard from this game was that it felt like they were in control most of the game until Maple Grove rattled off a few late to make it a closer score. I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of this game. I think both, I think we know Edina's really good this year. Maple Grove, we were kind of unsure about where they would land. I think they're somewhere in around the top 10, maybe. They're a top 10 caliber team. They're getting scoring from other players not named Ricky Peterson. So I think that's a positive for them. Their goalie that is new this year, senior goalie, he's having a good year. So they have the pieces to be a good team, and I think a tough schedule, and I think they'll be fine. I mean, it sounds like it was just kind of a gritty, it was 4-3 at halftime. So, interesting.
This is a random thing I noticed. No clue. Like, LaxHub could not be updated. You know, this could be, you know, just a technical difficulty on LaxHub, but it looks like they only have 10 games on the schedule. Isn't what's normal, like 13?
Yeah. It sounds like I was somebody, I made this comment about somebody else too, and it's like maybe like some of the interconference, like, 'cause they split that Northwest Suburban. So they like everybody on their side of the conference, and then they pick like three like crossover games with the other side of the conference. And it sounds like they didn't get those into LaxHub, or they weren't finalized when something, but
Got it.
games will be played. And if you go to their like team schedule on their like conference website, they're up. So I don't know that, but yeah, that was the rumor that I heard
Got
anyway.
it. That makes sense. I figured it was something like that. Last game of the day, the social media company, they played their first game on Saturday, and they actually played two games this week. So, it looks like a good transition for them. You know, I've never seen a social media company become a lacrosse team, so that was good for them.
Yeah, this game, I was listening to this game on the way back from Rochester. So it was nice to have a couple games to listen to while I was driving. It sounded like Prior Lake got off to a good start. Shakopee stormed back. It was 6-6 at a point, I believe. And
It
then
was. It was.
ended up winning 13-6. So, I like I said, I didn't really get to see it. I know this is a rivalry game, so Lakers prevail. I'm sure there was a lot of discussion after first game with we're ready to quit coaching after the first game with all the things that happened in the first game. But I think yeah, you got the W against a tough conference opponent, and you move on after your first game and fix what you need to fix. You just got to get it out of your system, right?
Yeah, no, it was like I feel like it was a classic first game, right? You're working through kinks, a lot of new people and new roles. So you got a new guy running the box. You've got my first time leading the defense. So it was a classic first game, and it was fun. Good to finally have a game. And it's exciting. Excited to be kind of in the normal cadence. Now, two games, three games a week. We're buzzing. We're in it now. So it's exciting.
Yeah, on to Monday. I think a very highly anticipated game early Monday night. Lakeville North and Eagan. Last year, Eagan beat Lakeville North on a last second goal. This is Electric Factory versus Electric Factory. This is Cardiac Cats versus Cardiac Cats. This is run and gun versus run and gun. It's everything you want in an like. From an entertainment value in a high school lacrosse game in Minnesota, and it did not disappoint. Lakeville North was dominating early. Eagan clawed back, no pun intended, and won it in overtime, or no, or maybe last second goal once again to win 14-13. A lot of talent all over the field. I didn't get to see as much of this game as I would have liked, but for those that were there, they said, it just was a lot of skill, a lot of talent, both ways, really well played game.
This
I'm
the
surprised by this. Is this surprising?
I think at the I think a week ago it, or a few when was this game? Monday?
Monday, yeah.
I think 2 weeks ago this would have been surprising, but Egan, is this year two in a row of the Cardiac Cats? Year three in a row? How long have they been the Cardiac Cats now? It's definitely another year of it.
Yeah, it's definitely two.
Sorry, I gotta fix something on my computer here. It is year two. No, I think last year was Cardiac Cats.
So it's year two in a row of the Cardiac Cats. However, Lakeville North, 3 games in a row now, have had 1-goal games. They're gonna need some sort of nickname, because they're living and dying,
Yeah.
1 goal at a time here. So North, the Panthers are gonna need some sort of nickname. But Egan, I think preseason, at least I was sleeping on Egan. I was sleeping on Egan. I'll raise my hand and admit it. I'll admit when I'm wrong or when I miss something. I think I missed Egan. Egan's for real. I don't know what else I can add to that at the moment, but yeah, Egan's for real. I think a couple weeks ago I would have been surprised by this. But Egan has my attention, has our attention, and they're gonna have everybody's attention if they don't have it already. Yeah.
I guess I was just maybe really high on Lakeville North.
Oh,
I guess I just thought they were just gonna like pummel people.
I think for sure. That was the public, the average
Yeah.
public view. And that's not wrong. And I don't think you're wrong. They're having some tight games against good teams. Lakeville North has a really tough schedule, right? They play all the best teams, so
Yeah.
I think it's less of it's not a knock to North. It's more of a
Yeah.
compliment to Egan in this instance,
Andy
if you get what I'm
Dinah.
saying. And Edina, and
I get that. Yeah.
yeah. No, I agree with everything on that. And then kind of bumping, going down to Monday evening, New Prague, a team we already talked about, Owatonna, a team that has been kind of on watch. New Prague 11, Owatonna 10 in overtime. Again, so I may be surprising how close the score was after New Prague had that big offensive output. We'll talk more about Owatonna in a little bit, but that was an interesting and a good game both ways. But I think for me, kind of the game I was really interested in was Stillwater Chanhassen. On like kind of where this was the first, I think this was the toughest game on Stillwater's schedule thus far. And it was pretty competitive. I think it was 8-8 in the third quarter. And then Stillwater just went on a run. Just like North and Egan, Stillwater plays that run and gun style. They got amazing shooters and they just started pulling up and ripping shots and hitting corners and it just got going for them. Then you could feel the confidence starting to pick up. Like guys' range went from 10 to 12, maybe to 15 to 17 yards. They decided they were going to start just pulling the trigger, and they were hitting their shots. So, hey, Stillwater. I don't think anybody's sleeping on them being, number three in the DTA poll right now, but they're a really tough team to play against, and they're as confident as ever. They were also what we can talk about them later, what the game of the week, but they're rolling right now. The ponies are rolling.
Last game of the week, or sorry, of the night, was Wayzata Robbinsdale Armstrong. For me, Robin, or sorry, Wayzata, for me, we're gonna find out a lot about Wayzata this upcoming week. They got Rosemount, Tonka, Edina. Sources have been talking a lot about Wayzata. Are they ranked even in our poll yet? I think they've had some votes. Maybe they snuck into the top 10. I don't know.
Votes, but back the top 10 yet.
They haven't. So sources, there's a couple sources specifically that have been saying, "Hey, Wayzata, hey, Wayzata." Not that their schedule hasn't been interesting. They're 3-0. They've been taking care of business, but depending on how they do this upcoming week, they're on my watch list for this week. This is their earnings week. For the Trojan stock. So, Wayzata, you're on watch. I'm gonna be taking a close eye on you this upcoming week.
On to Tuesday. I don't know, a meaningless game early between Bloomington Jefferson and Benilde. Oh wait, no, it was for the Metro West battle. I won't say for the crown at this point because a lot of games need to be played still. But two teams that are, I don't know, I you know they're both in the top 10. Heck, they're both in the top 5, I believe, at this point.
I know who's getting my number one vote coming up.
Two teams that are looking to add that Metro West Conference Championship to the trophy case. I think both teams also have bigger goals than a conference championship as well. We've talked a lot about, Benilde and just the roster that they have and the guns that they have. Jefferson off to a great start. This was the test, right? It was like, if they can hang with Benilde, they're for real. Not only did they hang with them, they beat them 9-8. Didn't get to see the game. I had a game of my own, which was unfortunate, but
Was it overtime or was that
not
in regular?
regular time, normal time
Regular
in
time.
regulation.
I saw some updates just via social media, via Discord. I was surprised that Jefferson was in control of this game the whole way. And maybe I shouldn't say surprised. I don't know if I was surprised because that's how Jefferson plays Benilde. Every year, they probably play Benilde and Prior Lake, or Jefferson and Prior Lake play Benilde the best. They just know how to handle that game. And it's, you can call it stall ball, you can call it possession, you can say bounces or pipes or penalties. Jefferson always plays Benilde tough. And for me, I'm impressed with them going in with the mentality that they can win the game and going and executing and winning the game. Were there bad bounces for Benilde? Like, could it have gone the other way? Sure, I don't know, but huge win for the Jags. And maybe a little bit of a reality check for Benilde, which we'll find out later in the week here if that helped or hurt them moving forward.
People were asking in the Discord and sources and whatever, do I sell my Jag stock? Do I sell JAGS? They've got call options. They've got it all. Diamond hands with the Jags. I don't think the Jags are done. I think they're just getting started, like we discussed last week. Last year, they were a year away. The year is here. The year is now. They have more opportunities to show, that they could run. Like they've got some premier games coming up as well to add to their resume, to add to their earnings reports, to add, on this run of, they're 6-0 so far. But it's so much room to run and so much opportunity. This upcoming week, this time next week, they will have played Prior Lake and Orono. I think those are two interesting opportunities. I know Orono had a, I'll call it a weird loss against New Prague. I think there's something there with Orono. I expect or I but I don't know. I don't know if Orono can make it interesting against Jefferson, not because of what I think of Orono. It's because Jefferson is just taking care of business. So, I don't know. Jefferson, Jags.
Also to note in this game, first goal. The first goal for the Jags, goalie goal.
Okay, I don't even know how this hasn't
No
come
way.
up yet. I
No
don't,
way.
yes. I don't know how this hasn't come up yet. I haven't even seen the clip. I've been trying to get my hands in the clip. Anyone have the clip?
I haven't seen the clip. I just saw the Twitter. I didn't
I
even know
need the
that.
clip of this. Down the Alley needs the clip of this. And props to you, Ted. We were talking kind of pregame about this, how we thought this game would go. And you were sticking with your alum, your team that you're an alum of. You were sticking with the Jags. I thought BSM would edge this one out. Jags.
Neither of you thought a goalie was going to score a goal.
No, absolutely not. Especially in a game like this, like where it is like two big, teams going at it. Like, when do you see a goalie goal in that type of situation?
I don't think I've ever seen one except for one time Jack Currington, I think, scored a goal.
I did say PMAC in our text message chain. I said, I think Benilde is the better team overall, but I was like, if I had to pick where Jefferson had two advantages in this game, it was at goalie and faceoff. And those are two big spots to have advantages.
Very.
I didn't look at the box score on where, I guess I could do it right now, on how faceoffs ended up, but it sounds like Bennett Lindman had a day. 12 saves on 20 shots, so 60%, pretty good. He scored a goal. I
It's
think
so funny.
looks like Mason Van Brunt went 67% at the faceoff X. So I think it held true. I think yeah, they have advantage. They have good, really good players at key positions. We could potentially see these two teams play again, and I'll be very interested to see what happens.
On t I don't know how you follow that up.
We'll
But
just
on
for notes, I won't go deliberate too much. St. Thomas Academy beating Matamidi 9-5. It's a good
Yeah.
win for CA. They're continuing to take care of business. And then Eastview Apple Valley 8-7 versus Rosemount. So kind of a rivalry game there, and a good one goal game. So a couple other good games on Tuesday. On to Wednesday. A shorter slate on Wednesday. Game of the night, or game of the week, excuse me, was again like a girl side. We did it for the boys as well. Stillwater East Ridge, number 3 versus number 7 in the DTA writers poll. Stillwater 11, East Ridge 10. Good game. East Ridge got like 3 goals really late on some fast breaks and faceoff wins to hopefully try to pull off the comeback. But again, it was a 7 goal, I think it was a 7 goal or 6 goal, 7 goal second quarter for the Ponies, where they decided it was shooting time and they just went off, and it kind of got the game in their favor. And I think then they held on to win. So, I don't know if this really answers any more questions. I think both teams are really good, and they will have more opportunities to prove kind of who they are and where they are as we go on.
Another game I want to shout out, and a team, Blaine. I know Blaine, we don't give, maybe a ton of love to. They're a program that hasn't historically made a ton of noise or a long playoff run. But I was diving into some film, scouting, preparing for some upcoming games, and one of those games happened to have Blaine on it. Blaine beating Champlain Park 9-7. Blaine, one guy to shout out, Rylan Dickinson, number 2, their goalie, really, really caught my eye on film. I started texting some sources about him. Sounds like he's going to the University of St. Thomas next year. He's going to dominate in the MCLA. Big pickup for the Tommies. 62 save percentage this year so far. With like not the easiest schedule either. Like Blaine, oh, who are they playing? Well, they played Centennial, they played Armstrong. Andover's made some noise. They played them. They beat Elk River, who, and Champlain Park, who are a couple teams like kind of maybe a fringe team. I don't know. So Blaine, I don't know. Just want to shout them out. They played some teams tight. They've got a couple wins, and their goalie really caught my eye. He's going to have a big career at St. Thomas for sure.
Yeah. And another team too that someone on the on social media actually made a comment. I'm gonna try to find Hoagie MN10 on Instagram said, How about Rogers Royals running first in the Northwest Suburban with a 5-0 record? So I went and looked it up. They beat Robbinsdale Armstrong on Wednesday, which is a big win. And sure enough, they're 5-0 and taking care of business. They haven't had the toughest of schedules yet, but they have taken care of business and they are at the top, I guess, tied for the top of the Northwest Suburban. So, shout out Rogers Royals.
I think Rogers was a if not when situation. They're a hockey town. Their hockey, high school hockey program is getting good. They've been making some noise for the last season or two. I think that's an area that's growing in population from what I hear. It kind of combines some of those forces. Watch out for Rogers. Again, I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know, but I think Rogers is gonna. You're going to hear more about them. They're 5-0 this year, so you're going to start hearing about them now. But I think this could be a community where lacrosse happens.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with all those points. And they've looked really they've looked good thus far, and we'll find out when they start getting in to some of a little farther down in their schedule. Last game of the day, Wednesday, that I thought was interesting. Creighton, Durham Hall 6, Woodbury 4.
Defensive battle.
It's a battle. Freshman Danny Runyon for the Raiders, 3 goals. And shout out Beck Lewis, who was a D-pole forever, going in the cage, playing goalie, and doing a great job. 4 goals allowed as a keeper, a D-pole turned keeper. So really nice win for Creighton. That's a section, section game where that could impact seeding. Woodbury, has been a team that's been dominant the last few years. So, that's just a great win for the Raiders. So, shout out to them.
On to last night, I've honestly haven't really looked at last night's scores because we had practice and then, a late practice actually. So I haven't really dove into this, but as I start peeking at it, kind of near the bottom for sure, couple of close games. Again, North, another one goal game against Eden Prairie, and Lakeville South, another kind of team with that new Prague situation where I'm like, they're going to be better this year. Northfield, a team that's just gets in there, makes it ugly against good teams. They got a one goal game last night, with Lakeville South as well. So, a
Same
couple of,
score too.
yeah, 8-7. Eight
Just
seven.
not one goal. They both were the exact same score.
Yeah, a lot of games last night. I think those two were the two close ones that I thought were interesting. I know Eden Prairie played North tough last year, so I wouldn't be I wasn't surprised to see that. They got a good defense.
And like, I know we never like we talk a lot about EP girls, and I'm not saying EP boys are bad, but I kind of feel like we don't really talk about them that much. And if they're going one goal against Lakeville North, in my opinion, I feel like they got to be
Yeah.
higher than I at least in my, I'll take hand to the sky because I don't think I ever count them in as a front runner on the boys' side. I don't necessarily count them out, but they're definitely more of a team that I should be paying attention to on the boys' side.
Yeah, they're 3-2 this year. A couple interesting games, a loss to Buffalo 7-8, but then they crushed St. Michael Albertville 15-5 and
Yeah.
close. So they're somewhere in there. They're definitely, they're definitely a team on the radar for me. We'll see kind of as their schedule wears on. They got a lot of big games coming up. Jefferson, we just talked a lot about them, but beating New Prague 10-2, holding New Prague to 2 is impressive on the defensive side.
You guys had a nice win over Otana.
Owatonna, I got to shout them out. They're a tough squad, honestly. Like, I think people wouldn't expect that, maybe because they don't see teams that are in southern Minnesota very often. They're one of the most athletic teams, if not the most athletic team I've seen But like they have some absolute dudes on their team, and it was a grind for our, and we have a pretty athletic team too, and like we were struggling to keep up. So
Wow, that's cool.
played well, like we got the W. But Owatonna, they're not a team I would want to play. And again, so shout out to them. I think really, really impressed me with just their commitment to their identity and style, and they have some athletes.
You were going south. I want to go north.
All right.
I want to go north. And this is a situation I think I texted you about. I feel like there's a lot of undefeated teams still this year.
Yeah, there are.
And as we think about that, we talked about Rodgers, a team not maybe on our radar all the time. They're undefeated. We go north. We go north to maybe the best logo in the state, depending on who you ask. Maybe a brand new program. And I don't know. They're doing okay. 4-0, the Cloquet Lumberjacks amongst with Esko and Carlton. How about that? I know when we came on, I was like, Cloquet to the moon. They're going to be a top four in their section. They're 4-0. They're 4-0, folks. They're 4-0.
Hey, they're taking care of business. Obviously, being a new program does not scare them. Taking care of business, 4-0. Great run for them thus far.
And they love scoring
They
goals. They love scoring goals. They love scoring.
come
They're
down and
probably a bunch
play.
of hockey players. They're like, oh,
Yeah.
these, we're used to scoring 2 or 3 goals in hockey. We get to score 10, 20 goals a game. Sign me up.
Yep.
Go Lumberjacks. I need a hat or something from these
Well,
folks.
they come. You can come. Have them if they're listening. Bring one down because they play next Friday at Burnsville High School against Bloomington Kennedy Burnsville.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know if we play next Friday or not off the top of my head. I don't think we do. I might try to pop over to some of that game.
It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Inaugural season for the Lumberjacks.
The game, I think the main event, as some would say, of the night was Benilde Edina, number one versus number two in the polls. Biggest game, probably biggest matchup thus far as rankings are concerned. Benilde coming off and I'll call it an upset loss to the Jags. Edina coming off a couple big wins against North and Maple Grove. Benilde, they let the dogs loose in this game, 16-4 over Edina. Didn't get to see it, but we knew that Benilde would not be down for long after a tough loss. That again, they're top to bottom. Their roster's so strong. They got off to a hot start in this game, and it sounds like they didn't look back. So Benilde responding to say, hey, we're still here, we're still around.
Yeah, I don't think it mattered who it was. It could be the number two seed ranked team. It could have been the 10. It could have been the 30th. It was going to be a 16-4 type of game. You had to expect this type of response off a quote unquote surprise. Not everyone was surprised about them losing, right? I'm sure there was plenty of people that were like, oh no, Jefferson, yeah. But from the public view, and from Benilde's view, I'm sure a surprise loss to Jefferson. This was this response I would expect from a team like Benilde, and a response that was needed from a team like Benilde. They needed this type of response, otherwise it could have been, uh-oh, a little panic, a little, starting to question some things in the back of their minds. Right back to it, 16-4, Benilde's back.
Yeah, nothing else to add.
Solid week.
Are we looking forward? Are we picking a game of the week? Where are we going from here?
That's a great question. We've gone pretty long on the recaps here, so I don't know. Is there any game next week or in the front half of the week that you're that you're excited about?
Let me look here, Katie. Does the source have one, or is there one on the girl side where you're like, yeah, this is a big one, or even a storyline game or something?
Well, Monday Andover plays Champlain Park, so I think Champlain Park, like if they just keep winning, is going to definitely be a front runner if they're not already.
Yeah, Andover Champlin on Monday, and then who was it? South plays.
They must play on Thursday because they play ECU Egan on Tuesday. So on Thursday, I think South plays Benilde.
Yeah, I
So
think
I
that
think that's probably
for
the
me,
biggest competition for the week.
Edina Wayzata on Thursday as well. That will be an
Yeah,
interesting.
I saw that.
Yeah, I think those are the two for me on the girls' side that I Prior Lake Maple Grove on Wednesday too. So there seems to be a couple good matchups every week. Check your local listings,
Yeah.
some live streams maybe, and yeah, on the boys' side, PMAC, what did you come up with?
I think there's a couple. Looking kind of, more at the top of the rankings, if I will. You got Benilde North next Thursday. I think next Thursday could be an interesting night in
Yes, it's like the
general.
gauntlet day.
So you got BSM North. I think those are two teams. I think North having some of these one goal games. Not I'm interested to see kind of where they're at compared to Benilde. Obviously Benilde at this point. They had a big response. I'm comfortable, with Benilde still being a top, three team at this point. But what can North do against them? Maple Grove.
North and Maple play on Saturday, so tomorrow. No. Yeah,
Yeah,
tomorrow. Tomorrow, yeah.
tomorrow. So Lakeville North, Maple Grove. I think this game is also almost more of a question for me for Maple Grove. It's like, okay, where's Maple Grove in the mix? If that kind of makes sense. It's like, okay, Maple Grove has a test against North, and then North has a test against Benilde. So it's kind of like this math equation that's going through my head right now. And then Jet next Thursday, also Jefferson, Prior Lake. There's some Prior Lake bias there, maybe. But I think that's a big one. I know it's a big one for, me in my mind, like, on the Prior Lake side. Jefferson's buzzing right now. So I think Jefferson doesn't even care who they play right now. They're balling. So for me, I'm excited to play a team like that
And
they're rolling like they are right now.
you know that like people think it's biased towards South Suburban or Prior Lake or whatever, but I mean these Section 6 matchups in such a tough section, these games matter for seeding. Like you say, if you drop a couple of these games, you're sitting at you might have an away game, in quarterfinals. It's just like so it's like. Jefferson Prior Lake, Jefferson Edina, Rosemount Prior Lake, some of these games in the section are really meaningful. I also think
Rosemount girls play Edina tomorrow.
so that's a seeding implication game as well. And that'll be an interesting tell on like where Edina's at for the girls and Rosemount too to kind of continue their run. On Monday, St. Thomas Academy plays Woodbury. That's a Section 3 implication where things, CDH upset Woodbury the other night. If Woodbury beats St. Thomas, Egan beats St. Thomas beats Wood, it could be a mess, right, with seeding. So these games all have some interesting storylines. But yeah, I think, as much as we try to spread the wealth around like coverage, some of these big dogs are playing, and they are the most relevant games. Farmington has their biggest test of the year on Tuesday against Egan.
That's a big one. That's a big one for you. Like, I'm
This.
super. I've become so intrigued with Egan. Like, I admittedly, I think I already said it. Like, I was kind of sleeping on him. I'm so intrigued to hear like kind of what your thoughts are and how the game goes. Like, is it a classic Egan team? Like, are they, you know, just gunslinging? Like, are they just rolling out, just playing street ball, or do they have a different game plan? Like, I'm super excited to hear more about Egan.
Yeah, no, and we're, I mean, yeah, we're not gonna take this game lightly. We never do, but definitely our biggest test and like a team where we're like, all right, like we better come ready to go because like this team's for real. So yeah, a lot of good games on deck.
Hey, this one grabbed my attention. Tuesday, the Knights, not the Knights of Benilde, the Knights of STMA going against Edina. The Knights dropped a kind of a big one against EP. They may have been rolling high after that Tonka win. They go out, they pump Providence Academy. I don't know what happened in that EP game. I didn't really hear much on that. They got right back on the wagon, beaten up on Monticello. This Edina game is kind of interesting for me. I think it's another game they're going to get up for. What's Edina's attitude going to be around it? I don't know. I don't think anyone, you know, after STMA beating Tonka, you can't really sleep on them. Edina's going to want to, you know, get back on track after their Benilde game. So this early week matchup, Edina STMA. At Edina, I think that might be a barn burner. I don't know.
Definitely could be. Yeah, a lot of good lacrosse on both sides. I'm sure next episode is gonna have just as much deliberation. I think we might have more questions again. We may have more answers. I doubt we'll have more answers. We always have questions. This year's been wild thus far. A lot of not even upsets, but just great games. A lot of teams coming out of the woodwork that maybe we didn't think were going to be as good, or maybe teams we thought were going to be good. But it's been a fun season thus far, and now we're getting into May. Games get a little bit more meaningful at this point. Make or break games.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of make or break games. Like you said earlier, like section seeding or conference implications. So it seems like every game now is just ramped up, you know, to the max already. I a couple teams on my I think three teams that I want that I have questions still about that I want answers hopefully by this time next week, because I still have some questions. Probably more questions than I have answers. I got answers on Egan. I think Egan's legit. Watch out. What's the Maple Grove, Lakeville North? And then Wayzata as well. Like, how are their kind of games gonna play out here in this fall, you know, in this upcoming week? I think are gonna be super telling on those three programs.
Agreed. Go out, watch some lacrosse this week. Check out Old Southern Barbecue if you're in the area of one of their locations in Hudson, Edina, Arden Hills, or Shakopee. Grab some barbecue. Go watch some lacrosse. Section seating on the line, conference championships, or conference. Strangleholds on the line. I guess anything can always happen, but with only one chance to play a team, you have to make or break when you play them. So, I think that's all I got. We've gone pretty long today, but any other lasting.
Two things. I got two things. Sorry, kind of off the normal conversation. I know you were at a game. I had practice during the NFL draft last night. The boys were buzzing about the draft. They were like, you know, because we got guys, we got Packer fans on our team. We got Bears fans on our team. We've got obviously a ton of Vikings fans. So, you know, they're trying to, you know, stay updated. And then, oh, the Falcons, they draft a quarterback. Everyone's like, you know, freaking out when I tell them that. So, I don't know if you're I not to be sexist, but I doubt the girls cared as much, but were the
We're
boys
also done with practice.
and you're done with
So if they
practice.
care, they got to go watch it.
Okay, fair enough. Were your boys as intrigued? You're probably in the middle of a game.
In the middle of a game, I didn't. I think I maybe heard someone that was like a JV player or like a manager or something say something, but
Okay.
let's talk about it.
There wasn't much talk. Okay. Yeah. Our the Prior Lake boys and coaches like came into the practice like fired up about it. And maybe that was because we had a later practice and that was like when the draft was starting. So maybe it was a timing thing too. I don't know. But JJ McCarthy, welcome to Minnesota. Fire me up. I'm all in. I'm all in on the pick. I know Dave Portnoy, all in on the pick and the Vikings now. I love it. I'm all in. I'm ready to ride or die with the new quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And I saw you tweet about it too. You were happy, like you were like, hey, we're gonna stay and somebody's gonna drop, right? You were kind of on that
I just,
wave.
there was all this deliberation about, you know, having to move up because, like,
Yeah.
this class of players was the greatest class that has ever been drafted in the history of the
As it
NFL.
is every year.
Is every year, and then like next year, there's no good players, so you have to make a move now. And I'm just, it rarely works when you mortgage the future to move up 5, 6 spots. Like, I'm always like a proponent of fade the public. When someone and everybody's zigging, you need to zag. That is how you're successful. And so they traded up one spot, I think. So it.
Yeah, and the players were like, "Oh, why are we trading up one spot?" And I'm like, "Well, that's to block like Denver and the Raiders who are right behind us." So I was fine trading up one spot, but I was 100, ask any of the players. I was 100% with you. I'm like, "Hey, let's sit and let's get JJ McCarthy or let's get one of these guys aren't going to go in the top 5 or top 10."
So yeah, I did tweet about that. Hopefully it works out for the Vikings. I'm not like a diehard, but yeah, the draft's always fun because it's speculation. It's like our preseason DTA picks. We get
Yeah.
to he gets to be mad about it. And then, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of times everybody that has deliberated about it is proven right. So you can be pissed about where you get picked and how you get. You know, whatever. And if you prove us wrong, we normally say you proved us wrong. And a lot of things we did say or these draft experts say end up happening. So, I don't know.
The last shout out, that happened in the last week. It's kind of been, the rumor mill, but it was officially kind of announced Coach Colin of Detroit. I think it was episode 19. I think I tweeted that out. I believe it was episode 19, one of the all time interviews of Down the Alley. One of our first interviews of Down the Alley. We interviewed him, in Las Vegas at the Hard Rock. Hard Rock?
In the lobby.
RIP, that it's no longer the
Yeah,
Hard Rock.
I don't. It's not.
So we were, yeah, we interviewed him in the Hard Rock with like the OG kind of tech that we had to it was an absolute scene. So shout out to him, obviously, more than just being on an interview with us. Like I played for him for for in college for my whole college career. He led the Titans for 10 years. Heck of a run. He's moving on. He's gonna be a club director for Team 91 in Michigan. Great opportunity for him. Great run with Detroit. Hopefully that'll open up. I know who I'm rooting for to take over that program. We'll see. But hopefully it opens up an opportunity for, Charlie Hayes, a guy in my class actually who is now in the PLL and is a UDM assistant. And I think a lot of the alumni are rooting for him to, be able to take that over. So, but shout out to Coach K, Coach Colin. Thanks for everything you've done for my class and me and the program in general at UDM. I don't know if the program would still be here today without him. So I don't know. That's all I got on that.
Good
Great.
luck to all the teams this week.
Good luck to the teams. Thanks for tuning in. Eat some old Southern barbecue and hope to run into you at a field here soon. Talk to you next week.